Hello, everyone. Annette and Ada here, and welcome back to another episode of A Course in Miracles with Annette and Ada. Today, we're on lesson 363, and we'll be starting to read the epilogue of the entire workbook. So, do you want to read the epilogue first,
yes.
And then we'll go back to the lesson like
yes,
we have been doing?
If you have a copy of A Course in Miracles, or if you want to look it up online, we're going to be reading it all together again for the last 3 days. Can't believe it's the last 3 days of the workbook. So let's get started with the epilogue. I think you're up first today, Ada.
Okay, epilogue. This course is a beginning, not an end. Your friend goes with you. You are not alone. No one who calls on him can call in vain. Whatever troubles you, be certain that he has the answer and will gladly give it to you if you simply turn to him and ask it of him. He will not withhold all answers that you need for anything that seems to trouble you. He knows the way to solve all problems and resolve all doubts. His certainty is yours. You need but ask it of him, and it will be given you.
You are as certain of arriving home as is the pathway of the sun laid down before it rises, after it has set, and in the half-lit hours in between. Indeed, your pathway is more certain still, for it cannot be possible to change the course of those whom God has called to him. Therefore, obey your will, and follow him whom you accepted as your voice to speak of what you really want and really need. His is the voice of God, and also yours. And thus he speaks of freedom and of truth.
No more specific lessons are assigned, for there is no more need of them. Henceforth, hear but the voice for God and for your true self when you retire from the world to seek reality instead. He will direct your efforts, telling you exactly what to do, how to direct your mind, and when to come to him in silence, asking for a sure direction and a certain word. His is the word that God has given you. His is the word you chose to be your own.
And now I place you in his hands to be his faithful followers with him as guide through every difficulty and all pain that you may think is real. Nor will he give you pleasures that will pass away, for he gives only the eternal and the good. Let him prepare you further. He has earned your trust by speaking daily to you of your father and your brother and your true self. He will continue. Now you walk with him as certain as is he of where you go, as sure as he of how you should proceed, as confident as he is of the goal and of your safe arrival in the end.
The end is certain, and the means as well. To this we say, Amen. We will be told exactly what God wills for us each time there is a choice to make. And he will speak for God and for your true self, thus making sure that hell will claim you not, and that each choice you make brings heaven nearer to your reach. And so we walk with him from this time on, and turn to him for guidance and for peace and sure direction. Joy attends our way, for we go homeward to an open door which God has held unclosed to welcome us.
We trust our ways to him and say Amen. In peace, we will continue in his way and trust all things to him. In confidence, we await his answers as we ask his will for everything we do. He loves God's Son as we would love him. And he teaches us how to behold him through his eyes and love him as he does. You do not walk alone. God's angels hover close and all about. His love surrounds you, and of this be sure, that I will never leave you comfortless.
What I love so much about this epilogue is that it doesn't assume we've got it all figured out. Oh, yep, you completed the year. Here's your little certificate of completion. You're good to go now. You've learned the skills you're supposed to learn. All that we've maybe really accomplished through the workbook is built up our trust muscles.
Yeah.
And that's,
yeah, that's true.
That's really it. We don't have to have this, oh, now I have perfect vision. I just got it all. I'm enlightened. When I read this, I say you probably aren't enlightened, but you have the trust enough to know you aren't alone in the journey of life.
Right. And that's why when we do the text, I also really encourage everyone to, if they want to do the lessons again, like starting on January 1st again, to go through and do the lessons again. I mean, you can listen to the podcast again. You can listen to another teacher. You can do it by yourself. I mean, there's no form that's correct. It's just whatever you're guided to do. But it might be nice to go through the lessons again. I know every year I go through the lessons, I have a completely different experience with them. And so I really encourage that. And then adding on the text with that too, is that then because it is, as you're reminding us, the theoretical foundation, we have a deeper understanding of the lessons when we study the text.
Absolutely.
And so, we're just really getting started. Even if you're 8 years in, like we are, we're still.
Oh, I know. I have so much to learn.
Oh, well, I've learned so much, and I learn something every time we sit down. I wanted to kind of just talk about what is being said here in this epilogue. So we have this voice for love, the voice for God that speaks to us all through the day. What is the Holy Spirit? And what it's saying here is that Holy Spirit, which is not something that is separate from us or outside of us, but it's an indwelling Holy Spirit. Like, there's not a person in the world that doesn't have the Holy Spirit. That was confusing to me because I had been in situations where folks would like call on the Holy Spirit to come to them or to come to the group. And so it really gave the idea that the Holy Spirit is outside of us, it's somewhere else. But the Course in Miracles really helps us to understand what the Bible taught, teaches, and what we find here, and other spiritual texts as well. Like, we have our own inner teacher. We have our comforter. We have our guide indwelling us. Mm-hmm. And so...
But it's not a separate entity.
No, it's not. Well, and if we go back to what is salvation, you know, how many times have I read this in the podcast, but that second paragraph, the thought of peace was given to God's son the instant that his mind had thought of war. So there was only love, and there was the extension of love. And then the extension of love had this tiny mad idea, what would it be like to be separate from love? There was no need for such a thought before, for peace was given with that opposite. There was just only love before. But when the mind is split, there is in need of healing. So the thought that has the power to heal the split became a part of every fragment of the mind, which still was one, but failed to recognize its oneness. So that part of every fragment of the mind that's the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Right? So that Holy Spirit is indwelling all of us. It's not separate from us. It is who we, it's part of us. And now I place you in his hands to be his faithful followers and with him as guide through every difficulty and all pain that you may think is real. So we do have a comforter. We do have an inner teacher. And the Holy Spirit is as close to us as the width of a thought.
Right. Going back to part 7 of part 2, or like section 7 of part 2 of the workbook, what is the Holy Spirit? I mean, that very first sentence, taking what you just read, how the Holy Spirit became a part of every fragment of the sonship, every aspect of the sonship that thinks it's separate. Well, then the Holy Spirit mediates between illusions and the truth. As he must bridge the gap between reality and dreams, perception leads to knowledge through the grace that God has given him, the Holy Spirit, to be God's gift to everyone who turns to him for truth. I mean, like the Holy Spirit is, we're one with it. It's part of us.
And that's what we are asked. The fifth paragraph of that's what you just wrote, what you were just reading.
I was just turning to that myself.
Okay. Do you want to read that? It's the last paragraph, and that's it's a call from love to love.
Right. So accept your Father's gift. So the Holy Spirit is our Father's gift. It is a call from love to love, that it be but itself. The Holy Spirit is his gift by which the quietness of heaven is restored to God's beloved Son. Would you refuse to take the function of completing God when all he wills is that you be complete? And that's the Holy Spirit. That's why you may hear me say, well, it's your Holy Spirit. To me, what that means is, like, the Holy Spirit is, whenever I say part, oh, it's the part of you, it always seems so weird because it's not part of the individual identity. It's like, it's not part of Ada, so to speak.
It was the gift that was given to the sonship that thought it was fragmented.
Right.
But it's not.
Right. And so it's like the Holy Spirit of the true self that calls to the different fragments. I love you. Come home. Oh, you don't really need to get upset about the time. You know, it'll be okay. You know, all these different things that we really need love in. But it's that inner voice saying, hey, we can do this a different way.
Right. We're kind of going down memory lane here, but I have it just open because I'm on the fifth paragraph of what is the Holy Spirit. And then right next, the next page is lesson 281. I can be hurt by nothing but my thoughts. That has been a really wonderful lesson. When you think of even thinking that the Holy Spirit is separate from you, we can be hurt by that, because then we say, oh, you know, like that honesty that we were talking about the other day, if I'm really honest, will the Holy Spirit come? But the truth is, if I'm really honest, the Holy Spirit is right there and helps me. So that's where this really, really becomes like very personal in the epilogue, paragraph 4. And now I place you in his hands, the Holy Spirit's hands, to be his faithful followers with him as guide through every difficulty and all pain that you may think is real. So all of this stuff that happens in the ego thought system, we think is real because it feels real. Like, you know, like I had a moment the other day where I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is heavy stuff. And it seems so real. But then, right, remember the Son of God, which is, that's what we are, had this tiny mad idea, what would it be like to be separate from God? Oh, it would be like this, or it would feel heavy, or we would feel like, you know, God was way out there and we were here alone. And then what the Course is teaching us is that, first of all, that can't happen. You cannot separate from your Creator, your Creator cannot create unlike itself. So we can't be evil. Because the Creator was just extending that which it was, or it is, and that's love. And so,
you know, that really reminds me, if you, like, there's the book, The Body Keeps the Score. And then there's, of course, other trauma work, where in, like, that book and other work describes how in our minds, if we think of an event, it could be a past event or it could be an imagined future event. Our bodies will react as if that happened.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if we just think it, then our bodies start to react to it. Well, that kind of, like, I'm just kind of putting all these pieces together where when you say, well, the Son of God had a tiny mad idea, what would it be like to be separate from God? We kind of add that in because that really says that in the Course somewhere else, but it's more, Tiny had a tiny mad idea and remember not to laugh, which as another way of saying is took it seriously.
Right.
And so if we have that tiny mad idea, what would it be like to be separate from God? And then we took it seriously. That's just like what we do when we have a fear-based thought or this imagined future, and then we start to react to it just inside our own physiology. Mm-hmm. It's like the sonship did the same thing. What would it be like to be separate from God? And it just starts to react as if that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we're, again, safe in the mind of God, in the separation, we are experiencing it as if it's real, but it's not real.
It's the detour into fear that the Course uses the words, it's the illusion of separation.
Right.
So we think that we're separated from one another and from our Creator.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where, you know, these thoughts or images I have made. It's just, it really, really illustrates for all of us the power of our thoughts.
Right.
Because we can think that things are true or not true. You know, I always think it's interesting when you read accounts of like people that have witnessed an accident. And even in that, in the book, The Body Keeps the Score, you know, there's events that happen, and depending on who you are and what's happened before in your life, you're even going to react to quote unquote traumatic events different than the other person who would be right there with you. Mm-hmm. Like, because we're all on our own seemingly separate journey, but it's really, the Course calls it a nightmare.
Yeah, because it is.
Because it is.
Now, okay, hold on. Maybe we shouldn't say, we shouldn't just like solidify it's a nightmare. Because if we're read in a few minutes, lesson 363, this holy instant would I give to you. Is that something we like make this whole like, oh, we start reacting to something as if it's true just when we start thinking about it, and we just start calling it a nightmare. And then, of course, we're going to react as if it is a nightmare.
Well, of Course in Miracles calls it a nightmare.
Well, yes, but then it also can say this nightmare can turn into a happy dream.
So let's get clear. So what the Course in Miracles calls a nightmare is when we're in that split mind and we're in the ego thought system.
Right.
That's the nightmare. And we can choose love and choose again. And we don't, it doesn't have to be a nightmare.
It becomes a happy dream. Yeah, it just like hits me like, oh, the more we start to say it's a nightmare,
Then that becomes the truth.
That becomes the truth. Yeah, yeah. It's like our whole conversation that we said, oh, it is a nightmare, isn't it? It's like, okay, yes, if we're coming from the ego thought system.
Oh, it is.
It
yeah.
is, it is, it yeah. is. And
we don't have to stay there.
There's always an and. Yes, yeah. We don't have to stay there.
Well, this is 31 chapters of a text plus 365 lessons plus the manual for teachers that teaches us how to get out of the nightmare.
Which I think has 29 sections.
And that teaches us how to get out of the nightmare.
Yeah, maybe there might be 30 of that too, but let's read our lesson for the day.
So we're it's lesson 363, and we would love it if you all would join us by reading out loud with us, because that's really kind of showing how much we've joined together this last year, and It's just really nice to know that you're all there reading it with us. So here we go.
This holy instant would I give to you, be you in charge, for I would follow you, certain that your direction brings me peace. And if I need a word to help me, he will give it to me. If I need a thought, that will he also give. And if I need but stillness and a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts I will receive of him. He is in charge by my request, and he will hear and answer me, because he speaks for God my Father and his Holy Son.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yes. And we'll probably continue talking about the epilogue and maybe some final reflections on the workbook, because it's been a year.
It's been a great year. So have a lovely day. And maybe you want to spend some more time with our lesson for today and just, you know, maybe read it and spend some time in quiet meditation and let it soak in. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you then.